As many of you are aware, that I've been part of a garage fellowship. And I met a guy on an airplane back in December that we were going up to the Bay Area, and God put us together because we found out that we played a basketball game together against each other, and then we played together back in 1972. And then I found out that he goes to a fellowship a couple blocks from where I live. And that's the Garage Fellowship. So I've been going there the last several months, and it's been a wonderful experience. Most of the guys, there's 12 people there, 12 guys, and they're all connected in some way with athletics. There have been coaches, players, but most of them coaches. One guy was the umpire. I thought that was neat that he got in on the group. But it's a wonderful group, dedicated men that love God. And we've been studying a book, and we would look at a chapter each time Wednesday morning when we'd get together. And the name of the book is The Rest of the Gospel. And we finished going through the book. There's 25 chapters in there. And so the coordinator of the group, Bill Westfall, he said, all right, next time we get together, I want you to share what was your favorite chapter and why, and what it do for you. So, he shared this several days ago. So everybody had different chapters that made a deep impression on their hearts. And so there was one chapter that I was looking at the different chapters. And what I did when we went through the book is if I saw something of interest, I'd put a little check by it if it had something meaningful. But if it was really, really a good point, a great truth, I'd put a star. So what I did, I went back to the book, kind of thumbing through it, and I found the chapter that had the most stars on it, I guess. And the name of the chapter is God's Precious Assets. And that's the title of this sharing tonight, God's Precious Assets. And I'm going to share some of these highlights from the book. And when I do that, what I'd like for you to do, especially the folks that are here, it's kind of hard to do that from the phone, you guys that have called in. But if there's a verse that hits your heart as we look at some of these things that the author mentions, kind of wave your hand or whatever and maybe have you share that verse. The writer does share some scriptures, but for the most part, there's not a lot of scriptures in his writings. So it's for me, I like seeing the truths and then thinking about, well, what does the word say about that? And then looking at the scripture that handles that point. So let's turn there. And the first thing that jumped out at me was right in the first paragraph, the last part of it. It says, you are not a liability to God. You are his precious asset. Now, that's quite a statement. Because a lot of people, when they think of God and the relationship that they might have with them, they're kind of wondering, if I'm good enough to have a relationship with God, does he really like me? I mean, I've done some pretty bad things, so I don't know if he really appreciates who I am. But we know the truth of God's word, that we are special to God. God has done a beautiful work through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we could be filled with all the fullness of Christ within. Christ in you, the hope of glory, one of the greatest realities man could ever realize. that we have Christ in us, and we fully and completely identify with Christ. And the author really hits on this in this book, which is really refreshing and great to see, that we fully identify with Jesus Christ from his death, burial, resurrection, seated at the right hand. And so with this Christ in us, that makes us pretty special. And I like this term, we're his precious asset rather than a liability. There's another statement he says, when we died on the cross, we permanently died to being a liability to God. And very, you know, the author obviously recognized that we have died with Christ, and that's what took care of the liability to God. From his point of view, he goes on to say, we can no longer be a liability. And, you know, I think about Romans chapter 6. Now, I don't know if anybody's got any more verses they're thinking about, but let's take a look at Romans chapter 6 in light of some of these truths. Romans chapter 6, verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be what?
Dead
indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. We're not going to let that sin determine who we are, right? We determine who we are by what God's word says. And God's word says we have Christ in us. We're sons and daughters of God. And then verse 13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are what? Alive from the dead. Alive from the dead. That's how we should be looking at ourselves. That's how we should be presenting ourselves. We are alive from the dead. If you died and all of a sudden you came to life again, you'd be a little bit excited, wouldn't you? I think so. You'd be really excited. I know I would. And that's how we should be. We've got a new life in Christ. That's our new life. So, and then it goes on to say, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And that's where we become precious assets to him. Yes, Tom.
Ask me about a verse.
Yes.
There's a verse I'm thinking about in 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, things are become new. And I understand from previous teachings that we're always new. It doesn't wear out. It doesn't get old.
We don't get old.
We don't get old, spiritually speaking. I mean, yes. Physically speaking, yeah, we might have a little trouble in that area. But spiritually speaking, you're just as new as the time you got born again. That newness of life, it doesn't age.
Amen. Amen. Right on. Great verse. Thank you. Great verse. Another segment here I want to share with you. It says, the foundational truth is to know you died with Christ and that you are no longer a liability. Having been raised with Christ, you can no longer be anything to God but an asset. You know, an asset, a precious asset. He has accepted you. He is pleased with you. He uses you, lives through you, speaks through you, loves through you. I mean, that's the expectations that we should have. I think sometimes Christians just kind of, hey, I'm a Christian, and then they live a five senses natural life. But man, we have a life where Christ lives in us and through us, and the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that's in us. Where is that? Romans 5:5, I think. So, yeah. What a wonderful lifestyle that we have. Okay. I'm going to go down here to another segment here. God joined in you, joined to you, one spirit, is absolute, bedrock truth. But God expresses himself through the total you. Spirit, soul, and body is the means of his expression. And I like that he uses spirit first. A lot of times we say body, soul, and spirit, but the author uses spirit, soul, and body, and that's the right order that God works through. What this tells us is that we can stop seeing ourselves as a liability. We can cease thinking that something more needs to happen to us spiritually before we can be an asset to God. A lot of Christians today are wondering, you know, I'm not ready to do anything for God. I'm not capable yet. God hasn't equipped me. He hasn't talked to me yet. You know, what can I do for him? I'm not that good. But what has he done for us? He's put Christ in us, right? We have his love in us. So we don't need to think like that, right? No way. If we keep focusing on ourselves externally, we'll keep thinking, he can't use me yet. If we focus on Christ living in us, we can put ourselves on the shelf as a liability and begin to see ourselves as an asset. And that's a great way to think about our life, that we are an asset. Who are you? I'm an asset for God. He can use me. He put Christ in me. I've got some ability that I can do something for him. Pretty neat, huh? If we are in union with God, then he must have us to express himself through. I'm not saying we're indispensable. I'm saying this is how God has chosen to operate. Any verses? Any other verses yet? I've got one.
We're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ.
We're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's 2 Corinthians. What about 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is one that I think of when I think about, what God has put in us. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19 says, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." Isn't that neat? We glorify God in our body. We are bought with a price. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God, and we're his precious asset. That's a great reality. Our function is to be in union with the greater and let him express himself through the lesser. We are vessels, containers of the life of God, but we are not the contents of the vessel. God is. We cannot produce his life. We can only express it, and we express it with the Christ in us. So we are vessels. Vessels. Isn't there a verse about being a vessel? Of course, this one we just read about, that our body is the temple. Well, maybe there is one. If you can think of it, we'll look at it in a little bit here. Well, he goes on to say, oh, here it is. The author has this verse in here. So this is great. Paul explained our role as God's asset this way, quote, and this is 2 Corinthians 4:7, the author quotes, "We have this treasure, the life of Christ, in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves." We are earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The beauty of the vessel is its contents. That's the beauty of the vessel, its contents. And what do we have in us? What Christ. Makes us beautiful?
Christ in us,
the hope of glory. Amen. Amen. I'll go on here. I've emphasized, the author says, how God made us new creations at our new birth. That is a rock bottom truth. And what a great point that is. Ephesians 2:10. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at Ephesians 2:10 in light of this. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what?
Good works.
Yeah. He's purposed us to do good works. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." That we should walk in these great works, these good works. So we are his workmanship. Let's see here. He goes on to say, the author here, "I'm saying that when we shift our focus from ourselves and instead focus on the Christ in us, God does his work in us. We are transformed into his image as we behold him, not as we behold ourselves." And there's a verse, chapter, 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And this says, "But we all with what? Open face, beholding as in a mirror or glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory," right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So that's who we are. We got to accept that we are God's asset. We are his asset. And that makes all the difference in the world. The last statement I want to share from the book here, and this is in the last paragraph, really. "Let it dawn on you that you are no longer a liability to God. You are a wonderful and beautiful and necessary asset. You are the vessel by which the world drinks. You are the means by which the world sees the love and life of God." Isn't that something? Yeah. I mean, I think this really hits the heart, especially for our people, what we've been working in God's Word here in our area, and you folks that have called in here so faithfully through the months and the year here, that we're to a point that we should really see who we are, and not only see it, be it, you know, act it, knowing that God has worked in us to be something very special, something that we can do now as his precious assets to do what he loves. And we heard in the manifestations, didn't we? What does he want? All men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He wants us to be our best. Pretty neat. We heard that in the manifestations. In light of thinking of how we can touch other people's lives. Who else is going to touch people's lives? But Christians that know who they are and do something about it, that really speak up and live the love of God and do something to hold forth the words of life. It really makes a difference. You know, and we are who we are. We have our unique personalities, don't we? And sometimes I think we, because of our personalities, we think, well, I'm like this, so God really can't use me to do much. I know for me, when I was young growing up, I was pretty inward. I was quiet, very shy. I wouldn't speak in front of people. But thankfully, you know, God took care of some of these inadequacies that I could communicate. And not that I'm a great speaker or anything, but that, you know, why not speak up? Why not be able to talk and hold forth the great things of God, knowing what God has done in us? So I'm not afraid to be in front of people. I'm not afraid to go down to Ocean Beach and talk to anybody down there. I don't care who they are. Don't have a problem with that anymore. I don't think about saying something weird, you know, that the person's going to think I'm some religious weirdo. No. I know what God thinks about me. I've got to express that. If I am his precious asset, if I'm that Christ in him child of God, then I've got something to say. I've got something to do in my lifetime. We all do. We all do. So my heart for you tonight is that you recognize how valuable you are before the Heavenly Father, that you are truly God's asset, and that you would use who you are in Christ to be that person you are, your personality. And God's going to work with you, knowing who you are, that you can reach people that I can't reach, and vice versa, right? And so let's resign to saying, okay, this is who I am in Christ. I'm a son of God, I'm a child of God, and God works with me in this way, and I'm going to look forward to God just opening great doors so that I can speak the words of truth for him. Because what has he done for us? My golly, he's given us eternal life, right? He's given us so, so much. And so I want you to think about that. What can I do for God? What can I be for God? What kind of an asset can I be for my Heavenly Father? And, you know, and I want you to think about this too. You have probably done some great works for the Heavenly Father. I know all of you have. We all have done great works for the Heavenly Father. We have probably touched people's lives that we've forgotten who they are, but they haven't forgotten who you are. Because there are people out there that I know the love of God that's been exuded in your life has touched their hearts. And that's pretty neat, isn't it? We got to remember that. We got to remember that we have done some great things for God. And now we just want to continue to do that. Continue to do that for our Heavenly Father. So I want to close out with a song here and play this song for you to listen to, okay?
Turned and saw this young man And he was smiling as he came. And he said, friend, you may not know me now. And he said, but wait. You used to teach my Sunday school. And I was only eight. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. One day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. I am so glad you came. Then another man stood before you. He said, remember the time a missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Gift you gave, and that's why I'm in heaven today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. One by one they came, far as your eyes could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices you made, they were unnoticed on this earth. Now proclaim, I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry. I'm almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you. Great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord.